You may remain seated. Let us pray. Dear Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace and peace to you in Jesus, our good shepherd, who redeemed us with his own blood. He was lost in a sea of strangers. They came to the amusement park together, mom, dad, brother, and sister. And now he's alone. It was a picture that caught his eye, ice cream. It was a hot day and he wanted ice cream, and so he wandered off, and now this child was alone, lost in a sea of strangers. A man came up to him and said, "Are you lost, son?" The boy looked up at the man and wondered if he should respond or how he should respond. He seems familiar. He reminds him a little of Grandpa. And yet, why did he call him son? This isn't his grandpa. It's not his dad. He doesn't know this man. He's a stranger. One of the worst fears of any parent is to lose a child. We teach our kids not to talk to strangers. We warn them about the dangers. We tell them things like, "What would you do if someone pulled up in a car and said, 'Can you help me find my lost puppy?'" As parents, we want to remind our kids, don't get into that car. Don't go off with someone. Go find your parents. Find mom and dad. Find a familiar voice, somebody you can trust. There are many strange voices out there. There are many voices in the world. And they cannot all be trusted. They threaten us all by saying different things. They say things like there must be some other way to heaven. They say things like Jesus can't be the only way. The Christian religion can't be the only religion. That's right. The Bible can't be the only source of truth about God. They're all around us, and they're trying to get access to the sheep by coming up some other way. And yet in our text from John chapter 10, to whom does the doorkeeper open? What voice do the sheep hear and follow? We need a voice we can trust. This boy had become lost in a sea of strangers, and he wasn't sure if he should follow this man. And just before he reached up to take his hand and follow him, a voice came out of the crowd. Being a little boy, he looked around and he couldn't see where this voice was coming from. But he knew it. It was Dad. Dad was calling him by name. Before he could even find him, he was picked up, he was embraced, and Dad had found the lost child. This is really a picture of how we're all born into this world. Lost in a sea of strangers. Strange voices all around us telling us different things, different ideas, giving us pictures of things that look so good, so appealing to get us to wander after them. We're born into a sea of strangers, and our sinful flesh confuses us about where we should go, who we should trust. These voices tell us different things, and they get us to think this is the way it's supposed to be. This is the way the world works. It's survival of the fittest. We're on our own to fix our problems. We're on our own to make this a better world. Are you lost? He was lost in a sea of strangers until this voice called out. And it called him by name. Braxton Richard Wakeley. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The door is the entrance to the sheepfold. It's also the way out, the way to pasture, the way to food and water. The sheep can't stay in the pen and expect to survive, and without a shepherd, they're lost. So Jesus grants unrestricted access. His voice leads them out safely to still water. It was in that still water that he called Braxton. He led him out of the world to pasture, to salvation, to life. He proves there's no other voice that can be trusted because the rest are all thieves. They're robbers. All other voices, all other religions, all other ways of talking about God are filled with ulterior motives. They've not come by the door, but they've climbed up another way. The door is the way to God, and it's the way to life. In all these other voices, they haven't come by the true way of righteousness. The only way to God is true righteousness, the way of selfless service, the way of sacrifice, the way which lays down one's life, which becomes last in every way for others. No other voice, no other philosophy has ever come by this way. Every other religion will ultimately end up in the same place, to tell you to trust yourself and not the voice of your shepherd. But they cannot be trusted. They haven't gone the way that Jesus went. Jesus went the way of righteousness, the way of the cross, the way of being last and choosing what was worst, the way of our sins. He's done what no other man could. He laid down his life and he took it back. He's done what no one else could. He died and he rose. This is the only way to restoration. His resurrection proves he is the only way to the sheepfold and the only way to life. He is restoring all things in his resurrection to very good. And so we read in Peter earlier that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that by his stripes we are healed. For we were like sheep going astray, but we've now returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Jesus has gained access and he has granted access. He's the shepherd and he's the entrance. And he calls us in the word, in the water, and washes us to make us members of his own flock, his little lambs. Before we can ever see where this voice is coming from in this strange crowd of all these different people, he calls out, he picks us up, he embraces us in the words of his gospel. And he puts us into a family. There's safety in family. Without a family, that child's hopelessly lost. But now he's been found, he's been picked up, he's been embraced, he's cared for, he's safe with family. The family vocation is God's means of providing and protecting our little children. He works through parents to provide from the littlest of needs to the biggest of needs. Through parents, he is caring for his sheep. From feeding, to burping, to getting up in the middle of the night, to dressing and providing clothes for them to wear, a shelter over their head. God works through parents to provide what children need. And this extends to every corner of our life, from the littlest to the biggest. God provides for a child's spiritual future. He works not just through parents, but by extension, the church also, which serves on behalf of the parents. Here in a flock of baptized believers, a child is gathered into that shepherding care, never to be alone, never to be lost. And so we read in Acts chapter 2 of that first century group of Christians, a flock of baptized believers, shepherded by God. There on Pentecost, they were gathered in baptism, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, in the fellowship. They shared all things, all their property, all their money. Everything was in common. It was one flock. It was one family. It is through that vocation that God calls us. It was also Peter's calling to speak on behalf of God. We know how Peter once denied his Lord, but after he rose from the dead, Jesus restored Peter to that role of speaking the word of God. He called Peter and said, "If you love me, if you really love me, Peter, feed my sheep. And that's exactly what Peter is doing. It's the office of a pastor. That word pastor literally means a shepherd. And the work of pastors is to care on behalf of God for his sheep, for his flock, to be under shepherds, through which Jesus speaks, forgives, protects. He leads them into one teaching and one fellowship. God helps that helpless sheep. Whoever enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his sheep by name and he leads them out. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. A pastor's voice is only as good as it is Jesus' voice. And so the only pastors to be trusted are the ones that speak for Jesus and through Jesus and in Jesus' name, who speak the truth of God's word, who seek out the lost, who share with you what you need the most, the gospel. There is safety in family. And here where the word is proclaimed, we're gathered into a family, into a flock, into a shepherd's care. So the child's been found. He's been embraced. He's been cared for. He's in a family. His father and mother raise him in the Christian faith. They provide food and clothes to wear, house to live in. They teach him about strangers and dangers. They tell him, don't touch the stove. They tell him not to wander into the street, to wear a helmet. But no matter what, there's going to come that time when Braxton leaves the household, when he's out on his own, when he's into the world. And who's going to protect him then? It isn't long before a child, once lost in an amusement park, becomes lost in another way. He faces questions he could never answer, things his parents couldn't prepare him for. Events unfold and sin begins to twist his life. And mom and dad aren't around. Maybe it's an addiction to drugs or alcohol. Maybe it's the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a question regarding God that he just can't figure out. He can't reason it out or answer it. This is when voices begin to surround him again in that sea of strangers. They tell him, Jesus is gone. You can't trust him anymore. You're on your own. It was fine when you were a child, when you looked up to Jesus as your shepherd and you were his little lamb, but now you're on your own. You need to fix your own problems. You made them. It's up to you to decide your future. A man approaches and he asks, are you lost? I'm not sure how to respond. He's strange and yet he's familiar. I know I shouldn't listen to strangers, but there's something familiar about this voice. He says, follow me. I will lead you to safety. And I wonder, can I trust him? It isn't until he reaches down with his hand that I recognize who this is. He reaches down to take my hands, and I see it there on his wrist, the nail prints. He was crucified for me. And the one who reaches down to lead me to safety is that same shepherd I believed in as a child. Yes, this is the answer, and this is the voice, and this is the one who knows my name. He knows me better than I know myself. And it's as if I'm back at that baptismal font again to hear his voice, to be washed and cleansed and shepherded. It's a voice I can trust in every situation. It's a voice Braxton can trust. It's a voice every one of you can trust. Each one of us will go through our own difficulties, our own failures, our own problems, our own sins, the sins other people commit against us. We'll face these difficulties and these dangers. And yet, who is it that calls you by name? Who is it that speaks to you today? Who is it that tells you when you face the worst that he's already faced it for you? That he's faced sin and death, and he's risen, and he's leading you to abundant life. He won't allow you to stay penned up. He knows sheep are in trouble if they're left in the pen forever. He has to leave you out. He can't leave you in the safety of your own ideas, your own survival tactics, because he knows there's thieves and robbers climbing in, and he needs to lead you out, because he knows beyond the danger, beyond the difficulty, is pasture. And so David writes in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Beyond the valley of death is the pasture of life. He's come to give it to you, and he's come that you might have it in abundance. He's taken your hand that you might die in his death, and you might rise in his resurrection. His resurrection is yours, and it's a restoration of all things promised to you on the last day. The recreation of a suffering world, that you would dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. A child has been found. He's been embraced in the care of a family. And what did it all? The voice. A voice that can be trusted. The voice which says, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it abundantly." In his name, amen.